Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bridget.
And this
is Girls Next Level.
Welcome back to Girls Next Level podcast, everybody. We are back to talk about Home Sweet Suite. How many Vegas episodes have we done in this series so far?
Is this like the third one? No, it's got to be third, at least third.
At least, because there was Carmela's birthday, yep. And then there was Cavalli Fashion Show in season one.
Oh, this is four then.
Yeah, and then season two, we did that trip where we didn't have anything
Vegas
to do
episode.
Except for the extra interview.
That was the launch of the Playboy Club and stuff.
Yeah, so this is the fourth one. And it's only our second time in the Hugh Hefner suite.
Yeah.
And is it our first time? Did we even stay the night the first time?
Well, the last time we may have, only mm-hmm. because we're going to show a scene right here where I'm fully in pajamas with no makeup on and they make it look like I'm going to bed and I say goodnight.
Yeah.
But it wasn't from this episode.
Oh, so it's from the last trip.
So it was either we spent the night or I was taking like a significant nap with no makeup on mm-hmm. and stuff. I don't know which. But this one, we left off, we're just getting to the suite.
Uh-huh. And we plop down at the bar, mm-hmm. and I order a skinny bitch, which is what I drank all the time, which I got that from Cara Zavaleta. It was a Diet Coke and vodka.
See, I was drinking that, like, way back, Mean Girl era. I was having the security bring in Diet 7-Up for me because mm-hmm. the clubs would refuse to do Diet 7-Up. They uh-huh. didn't have it, and they wouldn't let me bring it in. So literally, security would have to smuggle them in for me. And sometimes they would get called out on it.
That's really weird because Hef was such a big customer at the clubs. And people have asked us that too. Like in club nights in LA, they're like, how much did Hef get paid for going to those clubs? I don't think it was like that at all. Like he was paying a tab. Like he was going there. Like the clubs were happy to have him there and they would give him the best table usually. Mm-hmm. But he would pay his tab and like he wasn't getting an appearance fee.
Definitely not. And that wasn't even something that was happening on our early days there. That was started happening like around this time.
Yeah, paid to party was like later in our time mm-hmm. at the mansion.
Speaking of that,
uh-huh.
you know how we were like club appearances are not a thing anymore? I just got asked to do one.
What? Where?
I don't want to say yet because it's not confirmed, but it's out of state. And I will definitely let you guys know if I book it because I will hope you come out and see me.
Oh, that's fun.
Because I want to be there by myself.
Yeah.
But I got one. And I'm like,
oh, that's so crazy.
Holy shit. Is this for real?
Well, you know what I noticed? And I noticed this when I was rewatching on YouTube too. When I watch these episodes, things start to mirror in my real life that I was seeing on the show. Only positive stuff, luckily.
Wait,
not
what do
negative
you mean?
Stuff. Well, like when I was watching the YouTube rewatch before, like when I watched this series, I noticed my confidence go up over the years. And I felt my confidence go up in real life as I was watching it. And then again, with this time around, and I wish I would have knew I was going to say this ahead of time, or I would have thought of specific examples, but there's like specific things. Oh, there's going to be one in this, which is, it's not like a big one. It's not like a manifesty one for me, but it's like, I'll notice parallels in my life are happening that match what we're watching.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Yeah. Now I do want examples, but yeah, I thought it was interesting that the skinny bitch, and I remember texting you when I first watched this because I'm like, wait, this was a thing that I was doing like way back. And then we ask for it at the bar like it's just a common thing. But, and then later, Bethany Frankel starts a line.
Skinny girl.
Yeah, basically the same kind of thing and stuff. But I feel like we were doing this like way before that. I mean, we definitely were doing this way before that.
Yeah. We had to count our fucking calories.
Well, it definitely was because I like to drink, but I don't like the taste of alcohol. So I always have to mask it. So it's always going to be a cocktail. But I have always tried to balance, you know, the food and the drinking with workout and everything. And so I know that there's a lot of calories in that. So I definitely was trying to like balance that, you know, from the start.
Yeah.
This scene kind of bothers me because we're all at the bar.
We just got sat, so people know we're not going to move.
Yeah, and by the way, this bar is in the suite, and there's actual a live bartender working the bar in our suite.
When you said live bartender, I'm like, as opposed to what, a robot bartender? Because have you seen, I forget what movie it is, I think it's the one where like Jennifer Lawrence and some guy are up in space and there's like a robot bartender on a spaceship.
No, but I just meant as opposed to like it just being all set up and nobody there to like, we have to go back there and do our own drinks kind of thing. But we're going to take advantage of that. And Hef and Mary are standing right there and we're trying to get Mary to have a drink with us, and Hef too. And then Kendra just comes in and just tries to like bulldoze the scene. And she does. And then that got to wondering too, why hadn't Mary seen this suite before? Was she not there the last time we went for the opening?
I guess not. That was my question too. I'm like, Mary hasn't seen the suite before?
It was weirding me out because I thought she was there the last time. Now I feel like I need to go back and rewatch the Boring Vegas episode from the last time.
So would this have been the trip where she tripped in the water feature?
It has to be, because if she wasn't there the first time.
Because there were like little rivulets running through like the main room that you don't really see on the show, oddly.
I don't see them on the show at all.
I wish they would kind of focus in and, well, maybe they didn't do it because the Palms wouldn't like it, but they should have made a gag about people tripping in that thing or walking in that thing.
Palms probably would not have liked it.
Yeah.
I think that you can close it off. I think there was a way to cover it.
Yeah, there was like a lucite they put over it, but then sometimes it was open.
Yeah. And she didn't like fully fall. She just like her foot went in and it was like, oh, and she caught herself and stuff. But I saw lots of people doing that. Mm-hmm. Definitely. But anyway, yeah, she just kind of like commandeers them and takes them to show Mary mostly around. And it made me cringe for two reasons. One, I know it's camera stealing, but this was what kind of made that last episode super boring, was this long extended tour, and now we're getting it again.
You're right. Like I was gonna say, like, we don't need another tour. And you're right. Last time we had a Vegas episode, we thought the tour was boring. You know what I do like about this one, though, is I think Hef and Mary's interaction is super fucking cute in this whole episode. Like, it makes me kind of think they should have been the couple.
It's very lovey-dovey, and I feel like it shows a different side of them together.
Totally, that we've never seen on the show.
But we've seen in real life. And so I feel like it's cute that the viewers get to see that a little bit, that there was actually, it wasn't just, oh, I work for you. There was actually like a family vibe there.
Yeah. And when Kendra offers to take Mary to see the suite, Hef like scurries along to join. I feel like he's excited to see Mary's reaction.
I think
for
so
some reason, not that they had this big up down relationship or anything, but for some reason they were just in this very lovey dovey place right at this moment, because you can see it throughout this whole episode.
Yeah, but just to clarify, like, we don't think anything was like,
no.
Because I feel like people are going to go, oh, so was something going on?
I might call that this episode, Did Hef and Mary Hook Up? And I've said this before, but I genuinely feel like Mary was the one human being I really saw Hef be himself around.
Mm-hmm.
I think even more so than his brother.
Yeah, I think so too.
Like, he had a persona in front of his brother too. So they get in the elevator because there's an elevator in this suite. And just the interaction is cute because Hef's wearing a blazer and Mary goes, I'm so glad you brought your jacket. Like, I felt like a nag when I told you to bring the jacket. And it's just really cute.
Mm-hmm.
And then they go upstairs to see Hef's round bed.
It's weird that they left it in? Because I kind of do. Like, I feel like Mary saying, I felt like a nag telling you to bring your jacket. Like, I think they are setting this up to be a cute scene. Like, they're leaving it in to show that they're more than just like
co-workers.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I'm glad they did, because I think it's genuinely cute. Mm-hmm. And I think oddly enough, and I think this is par for the course with how we felt with the last Vegas episode too, is even though Vegas should be the most exciting, off the wall, bonkers place, which it kind of was when you guys went alone for Kendra's birthday, which was another Vegas episode. So this is really Vegas episode 5.
Jeez.
When we go as a group with Hef, it's not that poppin'. You know what I mean? Like, it's very routine still. Nobody really gets out of line. And I feel like that's why the Las Vegas episode and this episode have an element of boring to it.
That could be. I mean, I feel like the parties are popping, but I can see what you mean about like just the suite life.
Yeah. And kind of like we're not really doing anything meaningful in the parties. And I don't feel like we have since I was in that fashion show.
Yeah.
And there's a cute scene where they go upstairs and they're sitting on the round bed and the round bed is moving. And Mary says something like, I don't have anyone here to kiss. So Hef sits down and gives her a peck and they do it in like slow motion.
Yeah.
And I just watch this and I'm like, they're cute together. Like, they should have been the couple, in all honesty. And I'm sure this is not news to anyone and no surprise, but nothing in this episode is in real life chronological order.
Oh my gosh.
Like, we're switching outfits back and forth like mad.
I know. It's so bad. And this dress that I'm wearing, it's not the one that I'm wearing in the episode. But it's the because I had to rent that dress.
Uh-huh.
But I got this one made to replicate it.
Did you wear that to Stacey's wedding?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I'll be wearing this again for Stacey's wedding episode.
And we're sitting down, and you were wearing that vintage dress. I'm wearing like my blue Elsa Baracci dress. Kendra's wearing her gold dress, and we're at Nine Steakhouse. And Sarah Underwood has joined us. She must have been there working a promo for the Palms.
One thing, though, when we're walking through the casino, now I know when we would walk through the casino, a lot of times there would be a lot of cheers, especially from the guys, a lot of cheers to Hef and stuff like that, and hoots and hollers and stuff. But there was something about this particular one that I felt was very fake, like they added it in.
Really? I didn't notice.
Yeah.
I mean, probably.
Because I just felt like there wasn't a lot of people standing around. It kind of looked like we were walking through
a dead day.
Yeah, like, or at an odd time or something. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden there's all these cheers and I'm like, but where are the people?
Yeah.
So yeah, we're at Nine Steakhouse. And in interview, you say this is one of the high points for you.
Yeah, and I'm talking about how because we're there with all the girls and I'm just at a phase in my life where at this time when I'm really craving like female friendships. And I feel like I'm getting that a little bit more through my work at the studio. And I also feel like I've achieved so much like within the Playboy world, like so many of the things I wanted to do, like being in the magazine, modeling for the catalog, being on the cover multiple times, like all these little goals I had. That I was getting just as much fulfillment from like cheerleading other people on too and like bringing other girls through like their Playmate experience and stuff like that. So that was part of it. Like I genuinely enjoyed like having Sarah and Juliana and Kara and Crystal and everybody there. But I think another reason I say that is later on this trip and in this episode, we're at the nightclub. And I remember like Jimmy Van Patten was there. Like he met us there and some other people. Jimmy Van Patten was like a friend of Hef's who was kind of a youngish guy, like older than us, but young as far as like Hef's friends are concerned.
Yeah. And if you guys know who Dick Van Patten is, it's his son.
Yeah. And we're all in the booth dancing and Hef is sitting down and I'm standing up right next to him dancing, but I'm having a really good time with everybody. And he like got so pissed at me. It was kind of a replay of like the scene,
the
basketball scene from a previous Vegas trip where he just didn't like my energy that I'm up and having fun. Even though I'm standing right next to him, he wants me broken and worried and constantly like, are you okay? Like, he doesn't want me like happy and confident. Like, that energy freaks him out, I think, because that's how he would always react. And he like snapped at me and just, even though generally at this point in time, my relationship with Hef was pretty good, still things like that would flare up sometimes. And when I was going through my photos to put up on Patreon, I noticed one, and I think it might have been taken right after that happened. Because sometimes you see a picture and it's not indicative of what actually happened. It's kind of like a misrepresentation of how things were. But I look at this picture and I'm like, I wonder if this was right after this happened. Because I'm picking up this stuffed bear that Hef gets later in this episode. And I'm looking at it and I'm smiling, but I look like I'm fake smiling, but I really want to cry. And then behind me, Hef's looking all pissed and he's telling you something and you're leaned in looking concerned, like, Like, you're listening to him. And I'm like, did that just happen after I got yelled at and Hef's like venting at you or telling you what's going on or something?
Whoa. If a pic, like when they say a picture says 1,000 words.
Yeah, that picture tells a whole story.
Yeah.
So I think
that. Send me that picture.
I will. I might have posted. I hope I posted it. But yeah, it was interesting. And I think that's kind of why, like, me looking back on this trip, I'm more fond of, like, oh, we had dinner with all the girls and we all got to talk, because, like, the nightclub wasn't my high point, you know? I think that's why.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.
I just remember this night and these parties, this whole trip for me was really, really fun. And the clubs were really, really fun. I feel like we had just a great group of girls or people. Like you said, other people were there too. And even Mary was like celebrating and partying with us. Like I know Mary did a shot with us. And like, I thought Hef was in a pretty good mood this trip.
He was, for the most part. It was just that one stupid thing happened.
Yeah. And I just, like I said before, I love my outfits. I love the way my hair was. And I love the way the pictures turned out. And even though I had to wear those stupid glasses half the time, I think it looked cool and fun.
It was cute.
It still worked. So yeah, I look at the pictures and I feel like, oh, this was a fun trip.
Yeah. And I feel like your vibe is kind of what the show's picking up on too, because I'm watching this episode and it's not really, there's not much for plot or drama or anything like that. This episode kind of feels like a victory lap for me. Like, look at how much they've done and look at the place they're in now and look at all these fans that come to their signing and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So you list off all the shots we took, and this is a walk down Y2K memory lane, because every shot you list off is so particular to that point in time.
Yeah.
I forget what you say, but it's like Washington Apple, purple Hooters.
Redheaded sluts. Remember those? Oh my God. Yeah, it's so funny. And even Hef is taking shots with us. And you know what's interesting too? I know we've told you guys before, but we are reviewing this book for our Patreon. It's like the craziest juiciest memoir you've ever heard. But he always talks about Hef drinking Pepsis and stuff like crazy, but he never really talks about Hef ever having alcohol. And I feel like he even kind of says something about, like, he doesn't drink alcohol or whatever, stay like more focused or he's more in charge or whatever. But like, in our time, Hef always had Jack and Pepsi all the time. And
he was drinking Jack and Pepsi all day. Like, I don't know how his liver wasn't completely pickled. Like, don't get me wrong, I don't think it was a particularly strong drink. It's not like he was, and I never saw him drunk, really.
Very rarely. And if it was, it would not drunk, but maybe like a little tipsy or giddier than normal, but never really drunk. But people have asked this before.
Yeah.
Like, what was Hef like when he got drunk? But he really never was drunk, but I have seen him tipsy for sure.
Yeah, like a little happy.
Yeah, and kind of giddy and silly.
He was very much on being in control.
Mm-hmm. But he definitely drank during our time and drank all the time. Not like crazy, not like drunk all the time. But like, just there was always like some Jack Daniels in the evenings. Like when he would come down to buffet dinner and a movie, there would be Jack in his Pepsi. But I've tasted his drink before and it's not a lot.
Yeah, it's not super strong.
Mm-mm. And he always had a Pepsi sitting next to it, and he was always topping it off. Every time, like, he took a couple sips, then he would top it off with more Pepsi, and never any extra Jack. So it was that light kind of thing.
Okay, so the next part of this scene is this woman comes over to the table and brings Hef like a little Playboy bear that she had customized for his birthday. Like, it had an 81 on it, so it's his 81st birthday. And she kind of says something to remind him who she was. And he's all, oh, I remember. And I have to say, he had a really fucking good memory for people.
Yeah, for
like,
sure.
I feel like he remembered who most girls were. Like, sometimes when an older playmate would come over, if she looked really different, it would take him a minute to figure it out.
Yeah.
But he was pretty good at, like, acting like he knew.
Well, that I just almost backed up and said that. I feel like a lot of times he acted like he knew and didn't actually know.
But he was very good at it.
Yeah. Like, but this girl has an unusual story. So he may remember this, because I say in interview that the girl that came up, she was dressed as a Playboy bunny and she gave half a Playboy bunny bear. And then I say she won a contest through Playboy a long time ago to be the next Bond girl. And she got a small part in the James Bond film. So that's a big deal. Like, I would be like, I don't know how big the part was. It says small, but I don't.
Yeah.
Even being a small Bond girl, I feel like would be incredible. Like, what a great opportunity.
Yeah, 100%. Her name's Robin Young. She won a contest to be in Playboy and have a small role in Your Eyes Only, which was a James Bond film in the early 80s. And what's interesting about her is in 2015, when my book came out, she was tagging me on Twitter and she said, oh, what you went through at the mansion is nothing compared to what I went through. And I was like, what? And I was like, I sent the tweets to my manager and he's like, oh, you need to stay out of that. Like, don't. And I don't remember if I struck up a conversation with her at all. If I did, it didn't go anywhere. I think I was kind of like freaked out by it at the time. And then I think she later went on to like delete the tweets. I tried to find them, but couldn't find it. And when I was talking to the director of Secrets of Playboy, I told her about Robin. I'm like, I think this person might have a story because it sounds like something bad happened to her when she went up there. Like, she didn't imply it was Hef or anything, but, you know, there were a lot of creeps up there.
Yeah.
So I don't know what it was, but then she didn't end up in Secrets of Playboy. So I don't know.
Oh, I'm so curious now because she, I feel like whatever it was, well, I mean, I guess who knows, but she was very excited to see Hef. She planned to be there to see him and planned ahead to make this custom bear and her outfit and everything. So she definitely wanted to make a scene in front of him, you know, like be noticed and like, so I feel like it wouldn't have been something with Hef, but then who knows, because everybody reacts differently to like trauma and stuff, you know.
But it could have been anybody, really.
Yeah.
Could have been Bill Cosby, for all we know. I have no idea. I don't know what happened. She tweets some funny stuff. Like, she tweeted a picture of James Caan. James Caan is trending. So in the early 80s, when I had sex with him, I never thought how famous an actor he was. To me, he was just a cute guy with a fun personality.
Let me see the photo she posted.
James Caan is very much in the book we're reviewing on Patreon.
Yes. Maybe she was the girl that was like stalking him there.
Oh my God. What if? Because James Caan is very in demand in this book we're reading. Like, he must have been a hot ticket at the time. And then she writes, she did this tweet back in 2021, replying to Jeff Bezos and Leo DiCaprio. Dear Mr. Bezos, I realize you're teasing Leonardo DiCaprio, but to be honest, you should have a conversation with Lauren Sanchez about public flirtation with another man when she's with you. You may approve and enjoy it, but sincerely, her actions were a bit over the top.
Oh my gosh.
Oh dear. Okay, so anyway.
So, yeah, she comes up and says hi to Hef. So I think, I don't know what the show, I guess, left it in for various reasons. One, because somebody from the past is coming up.
Yeah.
I think they also, you know, wanted to throw it out there. Maybe Holly will get jealous of this. But nobody thought anything of it. Like, it was just a nice thing.
Yeah.
And then we're at Moon and we're doing shots and partying and dancing. And I thought we were all having a good time. Holly maybe was until a certain point. And then they left something out in here, which I am shocked.
Yeah.
In commentary, Kendra is upset because they didn't show her DJing. And she did get up and DJ for a little while. And I'm completely shocked that they didn't leave it in because I felt like it was specifically done for the show because Kendra didn't have DJing experience or anything like that. And I remember when she was asked if she wanted to do it and she was completely like, oh, I don't know how to do it, whatever. And the guy was like, well, I'll just show you. Just put the headphones on and come up here and do it. And so she went up and did it for a little bit. And I am shocked that they didn't show it because that's totally a scene that they would have showed. And maybe it's a deleted scene. I didn't watch the deleted scenes yet. Obviously, we'll do those all at the end. But
why do you think they didn't show it? Do you think they're trying to be more fair this season in how much time they spend on each girl? Because I feel like for me, I definitely get a lot more time and a more fair, equal amount of time than I did in seasons 1 and 2.
Oh, absolutely. For you, you are. I do not think that's why they're doing it, because I don't think that they inserted other scenes with me or with you that would have because I feel like there's a lot of Kendra stealing the scenes in here, and I don't feel like they insert stuff of just you and I in here to take the place of it.
Yeah, that's true.
My guess is it was just time. They probably tried to fit it in every way they could, and for whatever reason, they just didn't have time for it. It's probably a deleted scene if I had to guess. I don't know for sure. So then it cuts us back to all going back to the room, and Hef shuts the door to the suite and says, we'll see you guys a little later. And I feel like he was doing that as trying to be a final closing scene. Guess what happens behind these closed doors?
Yeah.
But it didn't stop there. Next, it shows Kendra and Juliana getting in the pool. And
I do a somersault to get on the bed, which I still do that.
It shows me crawling in bed going, and I'm like, this is not even this trip, and I wasn't going to bed right then. But if they've done this to me before, Bridget's going to bed because she's boring, but Kendra and the other girls are
right.
Partying,
I didn't think about that, but that's still a thing.
You're going to bed.
The other girls are going to bed.
Mm-hmm.
So then the next day it cuts to Vegas B-roll and an Elvis voice. And then in the morning.
And the window washer again.
Yeah. And we have this weird scene which is totally false, but they do a really good job editing it to make it cute and funny and look like it's happening at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
So Hef sits down to eat in the dining room and Mary is making cereal. And you're explaining in confessional that the cereal has to be just so because he likes bananas at the bottom and then cereal on top and then milk. And so Hef is eating in the dining room. Kendra is out at the pool flashing people. And then it shows a window washer. And they're trying to make the scene Kendra's flashing people and supposedly distracting the window washer and distracting Hef from eating. And they'll play her laughing voice and stuff and make it look like Hef's turning his head or dropping his egg or whatever.
Yeah.
But the layout of the suite is such that the pool is so far away and on the opposite side of where the dining room is and the windows don't face each other. And even if Kendra was scream yelling on the other side, Hef probably would have barely heard it. So none of that is really interacting with each other, but
yeah,
it's a skillful edit.
Yeah. And she was also doing that the night before, and she's doing it also. There's guys at a business meeting. Well, they're all in suits or anyway. She's doing it to them as well. I don't know if they're actually interacting or if they're, you know what I mean? Because they're it looks like they're looking over and stuff, but I don't know if they just cut it that way or.
Where are they?
They're on a,
on Ghost Bar?
Maybe. But now that I think about it, there's no way there's something looking at them from there. Yeah.
So all of it's just edited together, but none of it's really anybody seeing anybody.
Yeah. So then we're heading out. We're going to go do a signing at the Caesars Forum Shops. And you guys, the line and the crowd and the people, it was so I was just oh my God.
But people aside, it's crazy to me that Playboy even had enough of a presence that they had a store in the Forum Shops. That's crazy to me. And a store at the Palms. And as much as Playboy likes to act like we're irrelevant and Girls Next Door is such a stain on their past, I find it awfully interesting that the time when they had all these stores and the merchandise was popping off as much as it was, what just happens to be the same time Girls Next Door was on, because I'm pretty sure those stores closed right after Girls Next Door. I'm going to look it up.
Yeah. So you talk about how people had been waiting in line for hours to come and see us. And it was just incredible. Everybody was cheering when we arrived, and it was the energy was just so cool and so loving. People were like literally screaming, waving, clapping. It was just a big response when we showed up. And we were talking about how much that, how powerful that is, and how much Hef has an effect on everyone's lives. And it's his birthday and everyone's excited to celebrate it with him, is the way we kind of put it on the show. Or at least I kind of, like, I'm saying that stuff in the show. But I mean, looking back on it now, they weren't just there for Hef's birthday. They were also there to see us. The show was popular.
I don't think anybody knew it was Hef's birthday.
Oh.
I think they have you saying that just so it has this kind of sweet touch. Like, oh, it's Hef's birthday. People came to see Hef and us and the stars of Girls Next Door.
And get their calendar signed.
Yeah, I don't think it was advertised. I mean, obviously the Palms was advertising that it was Hef's birthday, but I don't think the store was. I looked it up, and the Playboy Club at the Palms, all the Playboy stuff closed in 2012, which incidentally was like the same year E! Got rid of all the Girls Next Door spinoffs, and the Forum Shop store closed even before that. There's not a date they give, but...
Yeah.
And people were saying they had been there since 9:30 in the morning.
It's crazy.
It's because
I don't think I'm going to add the itinerary like I always do to the Patreon. But I think we don't do this signing until 3 p.m.
Yeah. And this was the first signing we had at the Forum Shops, right? Like, we've been there to do shopping sprees, but I think this is our first signing.
I think this is the first signing, but it won't be the last.
Yeah.
But we're signing our calendars, the magazines, the bobbleheads. What?
Did you notice that somebody in the audience howls and then Hef barks back at which is like the third time we've heard Hef bark since we've been reviewing this shit. Like, once on The View, it happened again on the show at some point. Somebody howls like a wolf in the audience.
And Hef barks back.
And Hef barks back. It's so weird and random.
That is weird.
And weird that it's just a thing that keeps happening.
And then in interview, I say it's an unexplainable experience how many lives we have affected and how people look up to us as role models. It used to be Hef and some blonde beauties or whatever. I think I was going to say bimbos. It was going to be Hef and some blonde bimbos, but then I changed my mind the last second. And now it's like Hef, Holly, Bridget, and Kendra.
And you say, we're not just some blonde chicks, we're people now.
Yes.
And I know what you mean and what you're trying to say. But the part of me that, of course, knows, like, the darker side of this whole experience, I'm like, that's dark. Like, it took a show for us to actually become actual people. And the reason that resonates with me is I feel like I didn't have, I don't want to say any value, because obviously I'm there, like, serving a purpose and, like, you know, being the role of, like, the perfect girlfriend he wants me to be.
Yeah.
But, like, I didn't really have value to Hef until I became a, quote, unquote, celebrity on the show. Then he thought I was cool. When he saw that the audience loved our relationship, then he started thinking about, like, settling down and getting married. Like, he's so fame-oriented. Like, that's what matters to him. Like, it's not what he feels in his heart. It's not, like, a real connection. It's like, oh, the audience really likes us together. Maybe we should get married. Mm-hmm. Like, we really did only become people when we became famous. And I just think that's so sad.
Yeah, I put it in my notes. I'm trying to say that we suddenly have respect and recognition that we didn't have anymore. So that we didn't have before. So when I say we're actually people now, like, people are referring to us as individuals instead of just like, oh, those sluts.
Like, they know our names finally. I feel like it took until season 3 for people to really know our names. Like, obviously, there would have been some diehard fans who paid attention to the show who would have known our names. But as far as, like, going out in public, nobody knew our names until season 3. Like, it took that long.
Yeah, I think so, too. And I think some people still don't know my name.
Well, they can't pronounce your last name, that's for sure.
No, I don't even know by that.
Even people who are diehards of the diehard fans of the show, like, fuck it up.
I know. I don't even care because that's not even a name I want to have.
Yeah.
But
you can be a one-name person.
Yeah, I'm just Bridget. I've seen so many things even, like, after the show, and even not necessarily since we've been doing the podcast, but prior to that, like, the gap in between, people will be like, oh, it was Holly and Kendra and that other chick, whatever her name was. Like, I get that a lot.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And it's so rude.
Yeah, that's annoying.
It makes me feel like I was insignificant in the show.
Well, that's not true. So I'm talking about people being there to see us. You're talking about how it's Hef's birthday and everyone wants to celebrate. And then we get to Kendra and she's like, I love my fans so much. It feels so good to know that everyone was there to support me. She does say we once. I'll give her that. But I just think it's interesting how in her mind, this is the Kendra signing.
I have this written out too. It is funny. Unreal.
One thing behind her that's really cute is the poster of the three of us in the three, which was like the ad for season three. And I just think that's like the cute, it's my favorite marketing of all the Girls Next Door marketing.
I love it too. And again, it's the dress.
Mm-hmm.
And the original dress. And I, most of the marketing up to this point, I haven't really liked the way I looked. I didn't like my hair. I didn't like my makeup and stuff. But when we're laying on the grass, I do like it. And this three, I like it. I know a lot of people have talked about that Kendra looks like she was done dirty. But I feel like I was done dirty in all the other ones.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of my favorites. I just feel like it's cute and fun, and I like the color scheme of it. I wanted to recreate it for our thumbnail, but then it doesn't make sense because there's not three of us, so it would look kind of weird and unbalanced. And the first one was so good, like, why fuck with it? I feel like this, and I'm not saying it because Kendra's not in it. I'm just talking about the way we look. Like, I feel like it's an improvement on the last one. At least I like the way I look a lot better. Yeah. Like, I always try and, like, do it a little better. Like, I try and, with our thumbnail art, I'm like, what can I draw inspo from the marketing original for that season, but make it so it's more contemporary and we like it better.
Yeah, for sure. And the people were asking how we did that three, like how, like, were we actually posing in a three or whatever? Do you remember how we did it?
We were in a bubble chair, right? Something. It was some like round thing, and they had us like crawl around and like do different poses.
Yeah, I thought it was like one of those big round.
It's like a hole.
Yeah, like a like sort of like a tunnel thing, like a piping. It wasn't piping, but like big like that. Like you would put, way back in the day, they used to use them on playgrounds and stuff. Like you could crawl through and stuff. It was like a thing like that. So it was actually like this round thing that we posed in.
Yeah.
And then they obviously just superimposed them all into this three.
I love your look at this signing, just the red dress and the hair. It's so cute.
Oh, thanks. And then this isn't, did we also do the Brendan Theater, this one, and get our star?
We do that this trip, although it's a deleted scene, if I remember correctly, and not in the episode.
Yeah, because I know that I wear that red dress.
Because we're in the same outfit.
Yeah.
But we put pictures of that on the Patreon, so.
Yeah, there'll be that.
I'll try and put one in the video
too. And we'll talk about that in deleted scenes and stuff. But yeah, we get a star dedicated to us.
And I'm shocked they didn't include that in the show, because it just seems like the type of thing that Kevin would love, and it's such like a victory lap for Hef.
Yeah.
And I know that there, it's always like time, but it seems like they would just include like a flash of it or something. Like, I'm really shocked that's not in there.
I am too, actually. So that's two things that aren't in here. And I have to believe both of them are due to time.
Yeah.
But it is interesting. I feel like the touring the suite with Mary, I know it was a sweet scene and everything, but I feel like that could have been condensed a little bit to fit something else in, even if it was just a quick glimpse of Kendra DJing and a quick glimpse of us getting a star, you know, just flashes.
Yeah, just kind of B-roll stuff. And I'm really just like thinking of the way Kevin likes to do things. I'm really shocked that wasn't a scene, because can't you just picture it now? We're getting the star, cuts to me in confessional. I'm explaining why it's so cool they're doing the star. And, you know, Hef actually has a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame because he helped save the Hollywood sign. And he got this in 1970, yeah. And tying it back around. Like, that's so something Kevin would have loved to do.
Yeah.
So this is our cute Vegas version. Ding.
Yeah.
Like, that's what the scene would have been. And I'm shocked they didn't do it.
Another thing we talk about in commentary right in here is that Pete Rose was doing a signing at the same time.
Which is, you reminded me of this, and it's a blast from the past because this was in Forum Shops, but when I moved to Vegas not long after this, I was at Planet Hollywood, and there's a mall connected to it called Miracle Mile Mall, and there's a memorabilia store in it that, incidentally, Kendra's brother would end up doing some work with. I think he handled some of the signings. He might have even done the Pete Rose ones, I don't know. But Pete Rose would do a signing every month in that mall. It was like a staple thing.
That's so funny. Well, at this point in time, he's at the Caesars, and I don't know if he was doing them every month or not, but he was doing a signing on the same day, and he was being so mean. Well, I have in my notes, he was being a dick.
Did we actually see him?
I don't think we did, but he was complaining and yelling at people, and he was yelling at security and stuff like that, and it definitely got back to us that he was...
What a weirdo.
And when we were talking about this in commentary, the lawyer... because there's a lawyer that's sitting on the other side of the glass listening to everything we say and like saying we can't say certain things or like making notes and stuff that needs to be edited out. And he was like, he literally put his head in his hands and was like shaking his head like we couldn't say it, but they left it in. So he must have like checked on it and we were okay to say it.
That's just what we heard. We heard Pete Rose was being a weirdo. Allegedly.
Did he die?
Did he? I don't know.
He died.
Let me check.
Because there was a big deal that
he did in 2024, last year.
Yeah, I thought it was recent because there's like a big deal about him going into the, he never, well, I might have this quite kind of wrong, but he was trying to get into the, should have been in the Hall of Fame, but was not allowed to be in the Baseball Hall of Fame because he was doing the betting stuff.
Yeah, he got booted for gambling.
But I guess other people have like also done that now and has been proven that have made it in the, I don't know, something, and that he should have been, he should have been put in.
Are the steroid guys in the Hall of Fame?
I really don't know anything about it. I may not even tell you the story right, but it's something along those lines.
Just getting into some baseball talk here. Clearly my expertise.
Yeah, so then the next scene, we are back at the Hugh Hefner Sky Villa.
This next scene we didn't need. We could have had the star on the Walk of Fame rather than this scene.
You're weird. Right, but here we are again with having to, yeah.
And there's a couple reasons I don't like it from like a whole 360 angle. Okay, so what the scene is, so we're all downstairs.
Ready to go.
Ready to go. Waiting, you know, we're sitting at the bar with the other girls. Hef and Keith are sitting on the couch in the chair. And Kendra is upstairs late, of course. She's not ready. And Mary goes up to check on her. And I think Cara Monaco goes up too. Mm-hmm. And Kendra's freaking out over this gold dress. And she's freaking out because it doesn't fit.
Well, and then Mary asks her, well, did you not try this dress on? And she's like, I did, but I must have lost weight since then, which to me is where this scene gets problematic.
Like it's a low-key humble brag that she lost weight?
Yeah, and she's like, just overnight. And I just it just happens to me all the time like this, overnight. Well, I'm sorry. It doesn't just happen like that overnight unless you have something wrong with you.
And then she ends up wearing another dress.
And the reason Mary is up there because she's so late and Mary's got to like have yelling at Mary to get her to come down. And poor Kara is involved because Mary always needs somebody, like it usually is me, to get up there and help Kendra get ready.
Yeah.
Make sure she gets down here in time. So poor Kara, I can tell, was delegated with that task, which...
Yeah. And then another reason this scene is dumb and doesn't make any sense, but she wears the dress on this trip. Clearly, she ended up in it at some point and it fit fine.
Yeah.
She wears it to a nightclub on one of the nights. I don't know if they show it in the show, but I see it in pictures. So what even happened here?
I don't know.
And I think it's dumb. And I think they included it just because they think it's like this tension scene and this drama. And yeah, they could have put other things there. They could have put a positive scene of Kendra DJing. They could have put us getting our star.
Mm-hmm.
They could have put anything but this.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess it just shows a little slice of life, though. I don't know what it is.
So then it's B-roll and they show the pirate show. Aw, R.I.P. The volcano. Is that that's R.I.P. too, right?
I'm really sad about the volcano being R.I.P.
The mirage.
R.I.P. R.I. motherfucking P.
All of those things are R.I.P. that they showed in this. So anyway, it makes me sad.
Yeah, I don't like it.
Taking all the personality out of Vegas.
So we go to see Love, which was the show at the Mirage at the time, a Cirque du Soleil show based on the music of the Beatles. And they show a ton of B-roll of the show in this, which kind of makes me laugh because I feel like by today's standards, that's considered like a little cheap or like a cheesy advertisement. And it was not a back-end ad. It was just Cirque was nice enough to let us film there and they were nice enough to provide the B-roll. And I think back then in that time period, production would have thought, oh my God, we're getting all this production value, this amazing footage. Let's make the most of it.
Yeah.
But by today's standards, it kind of looks like a cheap ad.
Yeah.
But anyway, but it was a great show. And
it was really good.
Yeah.
Really good.
In confessional, they have me tying it back to Hef having any interaction with the Beatles whatsoever. I'm like, well, Ringo used to come to the mansion and John Lennon came to the mansion and burned one of his paintings. And at the time, I remember when they were interviewing me in that confessional, I felt cheesy telling those stories. I felt like it seemed really forced and like lame, but my perspective has changed on that. I think they were right about it. And I think it is a nice way to give the show more meaning. Like, even though I don't think Hef was close to those two men at all in any respect. And I think that's why I felt it was cheesy at the time. Like, I'm really making a mountain out of a molehill here. I have changed my perspective on that. And I think it was a smart choice. And I think it gives the scene a little more meaning, even if it's not that deep or that true. I think for the audience, it gives the show meaning and just reminds everybody that Hef's from a generation where he would have been somewhat young when the Beatles music came out, and it has like a different meaning for him than it would to us. And then they have this line they asked me to say in confessional, which is so cheesy. And out of any line I've ever said in this show, this sticks in my head. Like,
oh, we're feeling the love.
I go, we were definitely feeling the love at love. And I'm telling you, anytime I drove by the Mirage for the last 15 years, because at the top of the Mirage, they had this big rap of like the Beatles' Love that would play in my head. And I'd kind of cringe a little bit at how cheesy I was. We were definitely feeling the love at love.
It's something I would have said for sure.
And this is like my full circle moment. And how I said that, like, sometimes things we're watching, there's like an echo of it in life now. Right as we speak, they are peeling that wrap off of the Mirage. Like 18 years later, it's like so full circle.
Wow.
Like, we went and saw it the year it opened, and we're talking about it now, the year it closed, and
that's
the
crazy.
Last remnants are disappearing.
It's crazy. So we go backstage and they bring out a cake that spells out love. Of course, they cut to me staring at the cake. And hell yeah, I wanted a piece.
Yeah. And this is a really fun visual scene because all the cast members are back there, all the actors, and they have like these really fun, colorful costumes.
And then Hef tells the cast that they exceeded his expectations and it was truly a moving evening, and thanks them, which I agree with. Like
he's genuinely teary-eyed on this.
Yeah.
And the kids who played the Beatles in the show are so cute. They had four little kids that were supposed to represent like the Beatles in their youth, and they had like pajamas and like tousled hair, and they were so cute.
In the actual scene, they changed the music, so it's like a Beatles wannabe song, but in commentary they use the original soundtrack.
Oh, weird.
And I was like, did they just forget? Did they mess up? Or like, is it?
You know what? I bet they had maybe permission for it to air. And then that's what we watched when we recorded the commentary. But maybe they didn't have permission to include it on the DVD. So they had to do a switch out to like a sound alike.
Oh, maybe.
Yeah. And then we get the most abrupt switch in the world. We're in Vegas one second, and the next second we're back at the mansion for Casablanca night. And I'm like, what? How do we not have like a glimpse of one of us in confessional saying, and then we hurried home to get back in time for Casablanca night, or at least a shot of like a plane taking off or something.
Yeah, there was no transition. It was the most
abrupt thing I've ever witnessed. So in real life, Casablanca night would have been like a full week after this trip, or 2 weeks
because we went
before Hef's birthday. Tell us about the wedding dress you wore.
The wedding dress that I wore was my grandmother's wedding dress from 1943. So it was right around the same time that Casablanca would have been filmed, because that was 19...
Came out in 42. So,
okay. So yeah, right about the same time. And so yeah, I just thought it was the perfect thing to wear because it was that era, and I fit in it, and it was like just a cool thing to have. And I still have that dress, and I thought, oh, I should have grabbed it from my mom's house and I could have worn it today, but it is so thin and fragile.
Yeah, you have to be careful.
It was thin and fragile back then, but now it's just like, oh my God, I'd be so scared to wear it now.
Yeah.
It's very, very fragile.
And that shows Hef and Mary in the Great Hall by themselves, and they give each other a peck and say, I love you. And it's very lovey-dovey. Like, this whole episode, they are very lovey-dovey.
Yeah. I wonder what that is all about.
I don't know. I did think, though, maybe they were going through a phase where they were a little bit more affectionate with each other during this time, because it is, like, noticeable in this episode. And I'm thinking maybe because Mary was going through so much with Captain Bob and his injuries at the time. Captain Bob was her partner. That maybe they'd had a couple talks and were being like extra like nice to each other.
Maybe. And maybe she was also like kind of planning for, you know, what happens when Captain Bob's not with us anymore. And they had like some real deep talks like that.
Tell us about your stepdad in the jacket.
Oh my gosh. So yeah, they don't show any of these. I don't know if they're deleted scenes or not, but we went to a tuck shop and we got him fitted for the white smoking jacket. which I think is really cool that Hef let him participate in that and be like a part of that. Cause it's kind of like an exclusive group. Like it's Hef's
the
old
Casablanca
club. And it's a very small group of guys that did this, and it did expand sometimes, and other people would show up with white jackets, but he let my stepdad be a part of that. And so we got him fitted for the white jacket. And then we also went and went to the cigar shop and picked out special cigars because, you know, Humphrey Bogart was a cigar smoker. So we thought it would be perfect for that night. And of course, Hef used to smoke, doesn't smoke at this point in time, but he think later he's going to take a couple puffs off the cigar. Yeah. So I just thought it was really special that my family was included so much, and not just get to come, but we actually get to like participate and be a part of it, which is like a kind of a step further. They did that a lot with Kendra's family, but not so much. Well, my sister, they did, but not so much my parents and stuff, and hardly ever with yours.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a cool thing for them.
And even though we go into the scene so abruptly, I do really like this scene, these scenes of Casablanca Night. I feel like it's better and a more accurate representation of how Casablanca Night felt than what we saw in season two.
I think so too.
Even though season two was the introduction, I feel like this was a more accurate, better representation.
And you know, all three of us were wearing white, and I don't think we planned that.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what's weird?
What?
I did not see any Moroccan themed decorations.
Oh
Dusty
my God.
Moroccan decorations.
Hilarious. If you're on our Patreon, you know what we're talking about. Dang. Do you have anything else before best and worst?
Let me just look here. Well, I thought there was like a cute scene with Hef and Keith. They hug, and Ray Anthony pulls Hef aside and says, "Listen, the friendship is key." And have said, that's what it's all about. So there was like a lot of like kind of loving, tender moments in here.
Yeah, I feel like Hef's almost in a place where he's really kind of taking inventory and appreciating the people who are close in his life.
Yeah.
Seems like. I could be wrong, but it kind of seems like that.
Yeah. And there's a moment where you're holding Therese and you make it funny.
Oh, and Therese is wearing the cute Minnie Mouse outfit I got her from Disneyland Paris.
Yeah.
And Hef is like, I'm holding Therese, and Hef is like, we have an announcement to make.
Yeah.
I was going through, because obviously I wanted to have kids, so I was going through the biggest baby holding phase. I can see it in the photos when I'm putting the photos on Patreon. Obviously holding Therese anytime she comes over. And then there's these other babies who I don't know whose babies they are, but it's obviously people are bringing babies to like the family appropriate events, like the buffets or whatever. But I was holding the baby. Got to practice holding the baby. It's very cute.
So then Hef goes upstairs to grab something, and then we pull out these presents for him.
Oh, yeah. So Allison Lefcourt was this painter who had made Hef a portrait of himself that he really loved. It was hanging at the top of the stairs in the Great Hall. And then she was kind enough to paint the three of us as a gift for Hef. And did those ever get hung anywhere? Did they get hung at like the Playmate House?
I don't think so. They just got stolen from us is all that.
Yeah, they went into storage. And I remember after I moved out, I called Mary and I asked, I'm like, hey, I'm assuming since we're exes now, Hef doesn't want those paintings. Can like we have them? And Mary's like, I don't know where we would find those. Those are so lost in storage, and they were never to be seen again.
Yeah. I even asked Brian Alea a few times if he could look for them for us. And he was like, I don't, that one and the cute pink one that guy gave us at the Kitson, I asked for that one too. He said he couldn't.
That ended up in a fucking auction.
So then Hef comes down the stairs and he rips the paper, we rip all the paper off the paintings, and he seems to really like them, but there's just nowhere to hang them really.
Yeah, and I think it's cute that he says, we'll have to get a bigger house.
Yeah. Yeah, and then we all take a group photo, and Hef says, here's looking at you. And the camera pans away from the mansion and you just hear laughter.
So best and worst?
I did them. My worst is needing that shot for the allergic reaction.
Oh.
And then the little Kendra Cork things.
Yeah. What about best?
My best is just like that overwhelming like support and how amazing it was at our signing.
Yeah.
Like I just feel like I can feel that energy when I rewatch it. I'm just like, oh my God, that was just so incredible. And I know I've said it like 800 times, but I love all my outfits. I love my hair. Mm-hmm. Like, I just like my overall look in this episode. And I thought the love show was incredible. Mm-hmm. And then my parents and stuff being part of Casablanca Night and wearing my grandma's dress on the show.
Yeah.
But yeah, those were my best. What about yours?
The best is I feel like this episode is such a time capsule for me. Like, obviously, every episode is a time capsule, but that's what I really love about this one. The shopping spree felt very day in the life, and those were stores we actually went to. I love that the episode preserves so many things in Vegas that aren't there anymore, especially mm-hmm. since that show just closed. Even the Casablanca night, I felt like was the most accurate representation of Casablanca night that we've seen.
Yeah.
So I just love kind of the whole time capsule feeling of this one. And I feel like there's a lot of scenes that we've seen before, but they did them the best in this episode. Like, I felt like the packing scene was the best packing scene. Casablanca was the best Casablanca scene. As far as worst, there wasn't anything I really hated about this episode. I didn't feel like I was done dirty in this episode or anything like that. But something about this episode felt off to me, not in like a sinister way, but it just felt like the cherry on top was missing, or there was like a missing link in it somewhere. And I think part of it is because it's a Vegas episode, but we don't actually spend that much time in Vegas. The first half of the episode is getting ready to go, and then the last scene is Casablanca. So maybe that was a little bit weird. And of course, the abrupt cut to Casablanca night is really strange. But overall, I like the episode.
Me too.
So that's it. Next week we have to go over bedtime stories. It was a special we had to do, which was like us all sitting in bed watching clips of Girls Next Door and reacting to it. And Kevin had such a grand vision of what he wanted it to be, and it wasn't that. So there were like blow-ups as we were filming it, and I hate how it turned out. So that's going to be like a session and a half. Yeah, so that'll be a fun one to go over. So if you'd like more content, check out our Patreon at patreon.com/girlsnextlevel. Check out our merch at girlsnextlevel.shop, and we will see you guys next week.
Bye, guys.
Bye.